For those on the right side of the room, if you hear snoring, it's my kid. Okay? So, wives, no need to elbow jab your husbands. First, I'd like to thank the elders for allowing me to speak once again. It seems there's a trend. Whenever I'm asked if I'm interested to speak on a Wednesday night, God teaches me a lesson. So now I know I'm getting ready to learn something when someone asks me if I want to speak on Wednesday. I want to read a verse real quick. This seems to be the staple verse for the lesson that the Lord has taught me and is continuing to teach me and has been teaching me for about, I'd say, 10 months now. Psalm 94:19, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. I think it's pretty safe to say that just about every grown man in this room is either a father or a grandfather. So they have experienced the state of mind, possible terror of like, oh my gosh, I've got a human being that I now have to, am responsible and accountable for. Well, that hit me. So with that came a lot of worry. Naturally, I worry. We all do. It's so natural, as a matter of fact, that God tells us and gives us a command not to. That's how natural it is. What's great, though, is that he reminds us why we don't need to worry. So 9 months, 10 months ago, when Kate and I found out we were pregnant, that's pretty much when the worrying started. How was I going to pay for this child? And, you know, how am I going to raise him? It dawned on me, I think, at about month six, like, I have to teach him everything about life. I mean, everything. What not to do, what not to say, what to say, what to do. You know, wash your hands after you go to the restroom. Hold the door open for ladies. Say yes, sir. Say yes, ma'am. Say please and thank you. Don't cut off people in traffic. Stuff like this. Stuff that, don't have road rage, right? Be able to have grace in traffic. That's probably the biggest lesson everyone in this planet needs to learn. But, see, like, I'm not very good at that either. So I have to teach him how to do that, among other things. Most importantly, I have to teach him how to be godly. Moses commands the people of Israel to constantly teach their children the ways and the laws of the Lord. Constantly remind them, bring it up at dinner, teach them how to pray from a young age. That's one of the biggest instructions as a father that we've been given as fathers and, well, as parents. Moms, you do a great job too. All right. So I just had a couple of lessons that stuck with me. Number one is stop worrying. Matthew 6:34. I'll just read it real quick. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, so there it is. Don't worry about tomorrow. Number one, because you can't live tomorrow until tomorrow gets here, and then it's today. Funny thing how that works. So don't worry about tomorrow. Instead, actually, it's interesting. Jesus put that statement after verse 33, and it states, verse 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. And then he says, don't worry about tomorrow. So, number one, seek first the Lord's kingdom. I paraphrased that when I took down this note, and I said, take it up with the Lord. Seek him and call upon his name as his child, and cast your cares onto him. In the last month, I realized just how keen a person's hearing can be when it comes to a baby's cry. You can be in a dead sleep. You hear a baby whimpering and crying. You're up. and then you're attentive. Well, Lord willing, you're attentive. just as an earthly parent is attentive to the cries of a baby or babies, so much so, and even more so, is God attentive to our cries. Now, I'm sure there are times when the Lord facepalms and he's like, I can't believe this kid is doing this yet again. Which is why his word lasts forever. So that, you know, until he comes back, the command, don't worry about tomorrow, stands. A constant daily reminder. But in that seeking and calling upon the name of the Lord, his answer is one of grace, like that of a loving father. It's even after the face palm, you're doing it again, he still grabs you by the hand and he says, trust me, I ain't let you down yet. Why, you know, I'm not gonna. Psalm 34:4. If there's one person in all of biblical history who knows about being afraid and seeking the Lord and literally quite having the fear of life, or I'm sorry, the fear of death daily, that would be King David. Even before he was king, Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. I mean, we're talking about a man who constantly wrote Psalms about seeking the Lord and being delivered, being upheld in the righteous hand of God every single time. Being shot at, having like a spear thrown at you from across the room multiple times, having an entire army chase you through the wilderness, that's pretty nerve-wracking. And yet every single time, what does he say? I sought the Lord. And he answered. He answered. The Lord always answers. And he delivers. Psalm 91, I think it's verse 14 or 15, says, because he loves me and calls upon me, I will rescue him and I will honor him because I love him. Sorry, because he loves me. I will rescue, I will uphold him because he loves me. Lesson number two is trust in his answering to you. Like trust in him to answer you. Another psalm. Psalm is great. I'm telling you, it's like a treasure trove for these seeking the Lord and waiting upon the Lord. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. So along with waiting for the answer, or even getting the answer and that answer being wait, we still have hope in the very word of God. In his answer, we have hope. One facet of Lord's moving in his sovereign will is the fact that his timing is perfect. Literally, it is perfect. He's never late. He's never early. He's right on time, right there to deliver us from anything and everything. And there's a reason for his timing. I'll give you an example. I was running to the supply house one day during work, and I was trying to get a part so we could get back to the job site and leave and be done for the day. And an older person was driving a Prius, and she was in front of me at a stoplight. And she took her sweet time when that green light came. But I'm glad she did, because somebody ran that red light and would have either hit her or me. So timing is everything. And there's a reason for it. There was a reason why that lady decided to take her sweet time. I don't know what it was, but the Lord used that moment to hold me in that intersection where he wanted me to be. Along with his timing, we have to trust that God's timing is for our good. The previous example of the green light and the person in front of me taking their sweet time. That was for my good, because I did not want to get hit by a car going 45 miles an hour. God always has our good in mind. Always. His will for us, there's good. We might not see it. We might not see how good is incorporated in the Lord's will. I mean, look at Job. Lord took away his entire family and everything and then gave it back tenfold, hundredfold. Now, Job asked why, and he got the largest lecture in biblical history, but there's a reason. God is good, and he has our good in mind. Now, in my answer to the prayer of, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Do I need to change lifestyle a bit, to cut bills? Do I need to start looking for another job? Do I need to do all this stuff to somehow be able to change a situation that hasn't even occurred yet that I'm already worrying about? And instead, no, I was told to wait. Not literally told, but the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart, hey, chill out and wait. I've got you right where I want you. You're at Joey's Plumbing for a reason. Stay there. You and Kate had that baby the exact time for a reason. Now you're a father for a reason. I don't know why. I'm still baffled. But it doesn't matter. I have that now. I'm told to wait and to be content. Well, I'm skipping ahead. Anyway, I learned that the best way to actively wait on the Lord and in the Lord is to be the best steward possible with what He's given me. That attitude of, okay, well, I'm in this situation now. How can I glorify God with what I have? How can I glorify God at my job? Or how can I glorify God with the baby? How can I honor Him? How can I be a steward? How can I be readily available for His use? Something ironic that I realized the other day was over the last 9-10 months that I've worried, every single one of my needs has been provided. Every single one of Kate's needs and that baby's needs has been provided. Every single one. And we've been sustained. The Lord has used our family in ways that is absolutely incredible in order to bless us. I had literally no reason to worry, but yet I did. And my family and I have been without want. He had us covered. He has us covered. Another thought came to me. Maybe I'm not ready for what God has next. Maybe God has me in this point for a reason. That reason being, I'm not ready yet. I still have something to learn before I can move on to whatever is next. Who knows? Lord willing, we could be adopting in 2 years or baby number two. No? Okay. God has me in this place to be used as His instrument. That's why we're here. We are here to glorify God and to be used to further His kingdom. Lesson number three is I learned to be thankful and cherish the gifts that He's given me. Everything I have, my wife, my child, the very home in which I live, the very family to which I'm related to, I am thankful, and they are all gifts. That attitude of everything that I have being a gift is a very humbling one. And with having to be a steward, one has to be humble. To be a good steward, one has to be humble. And another point of waiting is I have to make myself available and also be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. And be bold in order to be used, whatever it may be. Another thought came to my mind that one of my biggest responsibilities now is to lead my family still in the Lord's name, but to teach Boaz the lessons of God, to teach him who God is. That is an absolutely daunting task in my mind when I think about that. How in the world am I supposed to teach a child about God when we as grown, mature adults can't even fathom that? Can't fathom him. Can't fathom his grace. But yet, we are still entrusted and commanded to teach our children about God, his laws, and his grace. So, while I wait, I will strive to be a blessing to both the body of Christ and also to the world. And my last and biggest lesson that I've learned is to be content. Now, not being content in just my situation, be content with a wife and a kid. No, it's we only have one source of contentment. Our heart can only be filled by one source, and that is God himself. So our contentment is only found in Christ. What's great is the fact that our contentment is found in Christ no matter what situation. Take Pastor Brunson, for example. He was content. Take Paul, for example. Beaten myriad of times, thrown in prison, and yet he was content. So I encourage you, whatever situation you might find yourself, remember that we serve an almighty, gracious Father who in and of himself we can be content. We find our joy, our fulfillment, our satisfaction. Nothing else on this planet can satisfy our heart. I believe it was C.S. Lewis who said, nothing on this planet can satisfy my heart because my heart was created for something greater than anything on this planet. I'm paraphrasing. Right? We have a God-sized void in our hearts that only he can fill, that only he can satisfy. Those are my lessons. I hope that was encouraging. Don't worry. Easy to say, hard to do. Let's pray. Father, Lord, first and foremost, thank you for your grace. Lord, you sit on your throne. Lord, this world is your footstool, and you look upon the nations, at every single individual soul. And yet, Lord, you own ours. Lord, among these, Lord, we are your children. Lord, to be able to come to you, an almighty King who sits in his throne room and court surrounded by angels, and yet we can come to you as though a child and seek your name and call for you to rescue us. Lord, we can bring our concerns, our worries, our pains, our sufferings, our sorrows to you. Lord, the only one who can fix it. And yet, Lord, as a loving Father, you grab our hand and you say, I got you. Say, I love you, child, and I will save you. I will rescue you. Trust in me, and I will give you everything you need. And in only me can you find contentment and joy. Lord, we thank you for the way you sustain us. Lord, the abundantly sufficient grace that you supply us each and every single breath while alive and on this planet. Lord, thank you for loving us though we forget. We forget that we're not supposed to worry. Lord, we fret over things that haven't even arrived yet. All for nothing. It's all in vain. Lord, you are sovereign. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would remind us constantly that the one whom owns our souls wills and moves for our good and uses us for his glory. Lord, we thank you for the brethren. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the love that we are able to show each other because of you. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would keep those traveling to foreign countries this week safe. And Lord, those with ailments, those going into surgeries and such, that they would seek you and they would find consolation in you. I pray all this in your beautiful and perfect name. Amen.